Thank you for all your prayers. We're very excited to be here. And prayerfully, the truck should show up tomorrow afternoon. And we're going to get to work as we set up house. But before I go any further, I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for being our God. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be in your kingdom. We thank you, Father, for the fact that everything went smoothly yesterday with the elections. Father, we know that you are in control and that you are sovereign over everything that happens. I pray, God, that there will continue to be peace in our country. That, Father, no matter who wins, Father, we can always continue to look to you, God. Father, we love you. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. The elections are over, brothers and sisters, and I don't know about you, I'm glad it's over. And right now, they're still counting the votes, and that's good. And so it's time to get refocused back on God. You know, leaders come and leaders go. Nations come and, you know, nations go. But you and I are in the kingdom of God, and I told somebody yesterday, I am so glad that God is not running for election. God is not on the ballot, and so you and I have nothing to worry about. Our Father is king. He's not a president. He is the King of Kings. And, you know, if I honestly believe that if we Americans could vote on God, I think he will get voted out. And so in his wisdom, in his sovereignty, he hasn't given us that opportunity, and I'm glad he hasn't done that. And so you and I always need to keep our focus on God and on God alone, and everything else will take care of itself. Let me set my stopwatch here so I don't go over time. Let's see here. Okay. Matthew chapter 7, in verse 24. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. This is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. You know, the Sermon on the Mount can be found in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. And in Matthew, it appears in chapters 5, 6, and 7. And this is the end of it. Some people term the Sermon on the Mount the greatest sermon ever preached. And Jesus had a lot to say throughout the entire Sermon on the Mount. And he ends it by saying, if you hear my words and you put them into practice, says you're like a man who built his house on the rock. Says, you know what? The rain is going to beat against that house. Streams are going to rise. The wind is going to blow against it. But that house will not fall, because its foundation is on the rock, which is really Jesus, which is really the word. On the contrary, he says, you know what? If our lives, if you and I are not only hearing the word, but putting it into practice, our lives will crumble. It's just a question of time. And so, kind of to further what I started to talk about last week, in terms of you and I really getting into God's word, because we cannot practice what we don't know. And so again, it starts very simply by you and I always getting into God's word, meditating on it, memorizing it, internalizing it, and practicing it. And Jesus promises us that if we do that, our lives will not crumble. And so I've titled the lesson tonight, Is Your Foundation Solid? Or you may want to ask yourself, how solid is your foundation? But is your foundation solid? Because if it isn't, it is simply a matter of time before everything comes collapsing and coming down. And I don't know about you, I'm so glad these elections are over. Because, you know, it amazes me that every 4 years, you know, we get a chance as Americans to vote for our leaders. And if we don't like them, obviously we vote them out and we, You know, we vote a bunch of new people in. But I've noticed that we cannot place our foundation and even our hope on democracy, or, and to be more specific, on any kind of politics, because we will be sorely disappointed. I've said so many times in the past, and I'm going to say it again tonight. I'm glad the elections are over. Everything that ails this country and our country cannot be solved by Republicans. It cannot be solved by Democrats. It cannot be solved by independents. It cannot be solved by democracy. It can only be solved by Jesus. And praise God, you and I in the kingdom of God, we're in God's church. Jesus has the answers. Politics doesn't. You know, Ed started to remind us on Sunday about God's sovereignty. You know, many nations have come and gone throughout history, like he eloquently described in the sermon on Sunday. And guess what? One day, America too will pass away in history. It is going to happen. It may not happen in our lifetime, but it will happen. Nations come and go. It is the kingdom of God that will last forever. Every kingdom will pass away. Only the kingdom of God will last forever. And that's why it's important that we always keep our focus on the kingdom of God at all times. And so again, as we're looking at these passages tonight, I'm asking you, how solid is your foundation? Because if you and I put our hope in anything in this world, guess what? It is going to crumble. It will not last. The only thing that's going to last is the Creator himself. And his word, obviously, and the immortality is going to grant us, to all of us that are Christians. And so it's very important that we always remember what this is all about. You know, a lot of times, even as Americans, we place a lot of hope in the economy. And when I look back at the way we vote as a country, for the most part, Americans vote their pocketbook. If they feel somebody is going to help them in terms of their lives being better, or maybe they're going to make more money from their businesses, or you know their incomes will rise, that's who they vote for. And that's why we're always very disappointed, because none of these men or women have the answers, you know? And it is only God that sustains us, even especially as Christians. It is only God that continues to take care of us. Now, I'm not suggesting that we don't save up and plan for the future. But Jesus tells us that, you know what? You keep me first, and I will give you all these other things. He's already said that in Matthew chapter 6 before we get to Matthew chapter 7. He says, don't worry about your life. Put your faith in me. Make me number one. Make me first. Always place me first, and I will take care of everything else. And so I'm asking us tonight, are you worried about your life? Do you believe that the God that has brought you this far will just suddenly abandon you? It doesn't work like that. We are God's children. The Bible says in Psalms that he has engraved us on the palm of his hands. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what is going on in your life. He knows exactly what is going on in my life. And we got to put our hope in God and not in the economy. You know, 3 years ago, we're still living in Corpus Christi, Texas. Hurricane Harvey came through, and we were asked to evacuate. You know, you see those lanes on the freeway, you know, showing, you know, in case of an evacuation on a hurricane, you got to go this way. It was amazing to be driving out of town and seeing no cars coming into Corpus Christi. Everybody was heading out towards San Antonio, towards some of us. Some people went to Austin, some people went to Dallas, but we evacuated. And because the hurricane was heading straight for Corpus Christi. We got to San Antonio, and we stayed with Mike and Amber G. Tolliver. And believe it or not, as we drove up and as we were walking in, my best friend, may his soul continue to rest in peace, your past leader, Onyechi, was about to cross over. And we walked into the Tolliver's house, and the first thing Ambergid said was, could it be that God is going to take Onyechi home this weekend, and he wants us all to be together? And I stood there and I go, And Onyeka crossed over that weekend. And we were all together. I still remember the phone call. And Sam Powell called me and said, you know, Nietzsche's gone home. And I now came downstairs and broke the news to everybody that Sunday evening. But you see, we went back to Corpus Christi, Texas, not knowing if our house was still going to be there when we got back, because the hurricane was coming directly at Corpus Christi. And God, in his mercy, at the very last minute, he turned it 30 minutes away from Corpus Christi to a city called Rockport. Corpus Christi has a population of about 300,000 people. Rockport, to the north of us, has only about 10,000 people. And it leveled the place. I mean, we went over there to help people clean up. I'm telling you, TV does not even begin to describe how horrible it was. But you see, a lot of those people that we went to help, you know, they were picking up the pieces. You know, a lot of them were very happy that they still had their lives. You know, they also took off and then they came back. But you see, we can't build our lives on anything that we can see around us, because it's a question of time. Because Jesus promises us in this passage that, you know what, the rains are going to fall, the winds are going to blow, but at the end of the day, is it going to be standing? Several years ago, there was a man named Bernie Madoff. He was right here in this city. Bernie Madoff was an investment banker. But what Bernie Madoff was doing, he was running a Ponzi scheme. And he defrauded a lot of people from their money. A lot of people's lives collapsed. He's still in prison. He was sentenced to 150 years in prison. I mean, with a name like Bernie Madoff, you know, he made off with a lot of people's money. I mean, we should have seen this coming. And obviously, he didn't make off with any of my money, because I don't have that kind of money to be able to invest with someone like this. But Bernie Madoff messed up a lot of lives. As a matter of fact, in addition to the 150 years of prison term that he got, he was asked to refund $17 billion. $17 billion that, you know, the authorities were able to recover and give, you know, a small amount to people that he had totally messed up their lives. But you see, when we put our confidence in the economy or in money or in investment bankers, we got to be very, very careful, because we can be disappointed. But when we put our confidence in God and allow him to take care of us, I promise you, your investment will be there at the very end of your life. You know, I saw this last night. I spoke to the ministry in Staten Island last night, and I put up this slide. It says, no matter what happens tonight, God's power is not limited by who is in the White House. It was said by a man named Nicomas Perez. I don't even know him, but I saw that. This is really cool. And as Christians, we got to remember what we are part of. And we can't get involved in all this stuff that people want to talk about and do. Because our cause is about the kingdom of God. It's much bigger than this. I don't know if you realize this. Jesus walked the earth. Jesus came into this world at the height of the Roman Empire. Rome was one of the most corrupt governments that ever was. And yet, throughout his ministry, he just said, you know what? Treat people justly. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and render to God what is God's. And so I say all that to say, we got to be very careful that even as Christians, that we don't get too involved and too rattled by all this stuff that is going on. I really believe that Satan uses this as a distraction. That our focus needs to be, you know what? Am I closer to God today than I was this time last week? Who am I helping to get to see the face of God one day? That we cannot get involved in all this stuff. This world and its desires will pass away. We got to keep our focus on the kingdom of God. I saw this, I thought it's cute. It says, during the next several days, please don't let the elephants and the donkeys make you forget you belong to the Lamb. I like that. You know, the donkeys are the, you know, the Democrats, the elephants are the Republicans. And then, you know, I guess independents, they don't have a symbol or whatever. But remember that you belong to the Lamb of God. I tell people all the time, I belong to one party. It's called the Alpha and the Omega. And guess what? He's not running for re-election. Praise God. That's what we belong to. And so we got to keep our focus on that. Now look in Mark chapter 8. This is Jesus again. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life would lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? In other words, what good is it if you have a great life, you gain the whole world, and then it gets blown away in an instant? You know, today is Sheridan Wright's birthday. Sheridan and Debbie lead the ministry here in Staten Island, and they've been wonderful, just allowing us to stay with them. And I'm in his office right now. He's in the dining room preaching another lesson. But today's his birthday. He's 66 years old today. And so we went out to lunch to celebrate his birthday and to celebrate Sarah's birthday tomorrow. And on our way to the restaurant, I saw a big cemetery on both sides of the street. And I couldn't help but wonder, wonder how many family members have come to even visit their family members that lie over here. And I also thought, you know what? One of these days, if I get lucky, it's going to be me in one of these places. It's going to be you in one of these places. Every one of us, we have a date with destiny. And death is not something to be afraid of. Death is simply the door that all of us as Christians have to pass through to be able to experience eternity. That's all it is. And because you and I know exactly where we're going, and so we shouldn't be afraid. But Jesus says in this passage, what good is it if you gain the whole world and then you forfeit your soul? You see, brothers and sisters, we can't build our lives on material things. Material things don't last. They never will. Only God and our relationship with him will matter in a few short years. You see, C.S. Lewis once said, don't let your happiness depend on something you may lose. There's a lot of truth to that. Don't let your happiness depend on something you may lose. Satan uses the things of this world to distract us and to get us from focusing on what's really important. You know, life is very short. You know, some of us, we're going to live into our 80s. Some people would live to be 100, and that's fine. And, but, you know, some people, God will take you in your 60s. We just don't know when. But Christ is asking us in that passage, what good is it if you gain the whole world and you forfeit your soul? And so we've got to ask ourselves, what is the purpose of our lives? Why did God put us on this earth? I don't believe God put us on this earth so that we can go to a job every day. We can send our kids to school, or right now with COVID-19, we are homeschooling them and all that. I don't believe that's it. God put us on this earth to glorify his name. God put us on this earth so that we can get to know him and we can talk to other people about him. That's why we're here. Our purpose is to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And then our mission is to seek and to save the lost. That's why Jesus came. That's why he came. He came to seek and save the lost. Do we need to continue to help the poor? Absolutely. Do we need to continue to talk about social justice? Absolutely. Do we need to continue to help our neighbor? Absolutely. But none of those things is going to get anybody to heaven. The only thing that's going to get people to heaven is the blood of Jesus. Is to talk to people about God. And so, yes, as we do all these things, we've got to understand why God created us and put us on this earth in the first place. The mistake I think some of us make is we compare our lives even with people in the world. And you can't do that because, you know, even one of the psalmists was talking about how it looks as if the wicked are getting away with their wickedness until I entered the Lord's sanctuary. And I saw what's awaiting them. Then I realize, whoa, I'm in the right place. And so the Bible talks about, do not envy the wicked. Right now, it looks like, man, people are doing things, people are not serving God, and they seem to be happy, and life is going great for them. If you only knew. If you only knew what's going on behind closed doors. If you really, if you can only see beyond the facade. People are miserable. How do you and I know that? You and I, we used to be like that. People outside of Christ are miserable. Because none of these material things can fill us up. God left us an emptiness in every single person that only he can fill. And that's why, you know, you and I, at one point, we were chasing after all those things, and it didn't fulfill us. And then eventually, you know, somebody reached out to us. We started looking at the Bible, and we was like, wow, this is what I've been missing. This is what I've been looking for my entire life. Because that hole that God put in every single person, only the Spirit of God can fill it. And that's what life is really all about. And that's why we can't base our lives on any of these things, because they are not going to last. You see, you can't measure your progress using someone else's ruler. You know, I'm 58 years old. I just turned 58 a few weeks ago. And but you can't compare my life to your life. You know, I don't know what chapter I'm in my own life, in my own journey. I'm probably at, you know, chapter 15 of a 20 chapter life. I think I'm at chapter 15 right now. And you may be at chapter 5, but you can't compare your chapter 5 to my chapter 15. You have no idea all the stuff I've gone through to get to this point. And you are going to have your own experiences. You're going to have your own things that you're going to go, that God is going to bring you through. And so stop comparing your life to the lives of other people. Just live out your life. Walk your journey. We all have our own individual journeys. Now, praise God, as a church and as Christians, we're there to help each other out. And that's the beauty of being in God's church, that we can help each other out. It was great on Monday hanging out with Ben and Joey. We were social distancing and everything. And, you know, they say, bro, can I ask a question? Bro, can I ask a question? And we sat there for hours. It was awesome. It was a great time. And then they went to get some fried chicken from some Korean restaurant. You know, they promised to take me there. And so I'm looking forward to it, you know. But it was a great, great time. And that's one of the beauties of being in the kingdom of God, where we can help each other. We can sharpen one another. We're a family. But you can't compare your progress with somebody else's ruler. It's not possible. You will simply be discouraged and you will get down. So keep on marching on. God ain't through with you yet. God is not through with me yet either. You see, brothers and sisters, we can't put our confidence in our jobs, in our schooling, in our careers, even in our children. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to raise them up to love and to know God. That's it. But you see, our children cannot now become our gods, because they are not the creator. We gotta be very important. We gotta make sure that our foundation is always God and God alone. And you know, you either live for nothing or you're gonna die for something. It's, you know, that's the call. You know, I miss Nietzsche. Nietzsche's been gone now for 3 years. And I met Nietzsche and Daisy on the day they got married. I'd moved from Boston to come join the mission team going to Nairobi, Kenya. That was the day I met him. And come find out, one of his cousins was my classmate at the University of Bridgeport in Connecticut. And so we get over here, and I see this guy. I said, wait a second, what are you doing here? And he goes, oh, Nietzsche's my cousin. I said, you've got to be kidding me. And that's when I saw the last, I said, yeah, the last name is the same. And Nietzsche was doing his PhD. He was getting his PhD in economics, and he gave it up and went on and joined that mission team. He made the right choice, because yeah, he may have had doctor in front of his name. That doctor would not have gotten him to heaven. It was his walk with God that helped him cross over to be with his God. I miss him still, you know? There are days when I wake up, I'm like, man, he's not here. You know, I thought about this the other day. I said, man, you know, the next person that crosses over from the New York City church, you know, when they get to the other side and they see my homeboy, and they tell homeboy that Richard and Sarah are now in Brooklyn, I don't think he's going to believe it. He's going to say, really? Richard is in New York? Richard that doesn't like the cold? How did that happen? Hey, that's what God does. But, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, the next person that crossed over will tell him that we're now here. I miss him still. But he gave it all up. Because again, Jesus asked, what good is it if you gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? You see, our parents send us from Africa to come go to school either in America or in England so that we can make something of ourselves and make a lot of money. And then we turn around and we help other members of the family. That's the way it works. We don't have any, you can't get any loans from anybody or any bank. Nobody will loan you money. If your family doesn't educate you, you don't get educated. And would you believe that when Nietzsche and myself and others, when we gave up our careers and went to the full-time ministry, our families were not happy. Because not only did that jeopardize people that are meant to be coming after us and helping them go through school. Because they send us over here and to get an education so that we can turn around and help other people. And as we're still speaking, my wife and I still help our family members. But that's okay. But see, what good is it if we gain the whole world and we forfeit our souls? You see, tomorrow is not guaranteed to any of us. We all know the story of Job in Job chapter 1, and I'm going to read it very quickly. In Job chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, it says, in the land of Uz, there was a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys. He had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. You know the story of this man that I just read. He's minding his own business. Satan shows up. And the Lord asks him, where have you been? He says, roaming around the earth. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? And what did Satan say? I want you to put a shield around him. Let me at him and see if he doesn't curse you. And God says, you know what? Fine. You can go after him, but you can't take his life. You can't touch him. And what did Job do? He went out, and in one day, he wiped out Job's family. All 10 kids. Everything he owned, he destroyed. Talking about a stock market crash. This man lost everything in 24 hours. And at the end of it, what was his reaction? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. May the name of God be praised. Even after losing everything. Now, I love the story of Job because, you know, if you haven't read it, I encourage you to go study it out. Because at the end of his life, he gets everything back and then some. Because that's the kind of God that we serve. His foundation was solid. What he went through, that would have shaken a lot of people. A lot of men would have forsaken God and turned their backs, but he didn't. He stood there. His friends showed up saying, hey, you must have done something wrong. That's why this happened to you. You know, he said, no, I haven't done anything wrong. But see, we got to hang in there no matter what. The late Dr. Maya Angelou once said, you may not control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them. That's what Job did. I mean, I can't imagine losing my kids and losing everything I own in 24 hours. That's hard. But yet, Job was not reduced by anything he went through. And the same is true for us. Life is tough. Some of us, we have health challenges. Some of us, we have financial challenges. But let me tell you something. God loves you. God hasn't forsaken you. That prayer that you've been praying all this time, one day God is going to answer you. Because he cannot put you off forever. God's timing is always perfect. And all you and I can do is hang in there. He will always come through on his promise. When you go through a trial, Spurgeon once said, the sovereignty of God is the pillar upon which you can lay your head. You know, as long as God is on the throne, we have absolutely nothing to worry about. Now, if for some reason he abdicated, then we're in serious trouble. But that's not going to happen, okay? He's not going to get off the throne. He's not going to abdicate his authority. He's not going to delegate it to somebody else. God is God. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as long as he's sovereign, as long as he's King of Kings, we have really nothing to worry about. You know, Gordon Ferguson is one of the brothers I love and taught me how to preach as a young minister and a young intern. And I'll forget, many years ago, I attended a class and he was teaching at a conference. And he made this statement from a preacher that he had heard when he was growing up. He simply says, never give your life for anything that death can take away. Never give your life for anything that death can take away. Brothers and sisters, the only thing death cannot take away is our souls. And that's why we can't give our souls to anything inside this world. We can't give our lives to anything inside this world because it's going to perish. It's going to pass away. And so to go back to the beginning, I'm asking us again tonight, is your foundation solid? Or how solid is that foundation? The rains are going to come. The wind is going to blow. But if your life and my life is based on the word of God, yeah, our house, our lives will not crumble. It's a promise from God and his spirit. And so it's time for us to put our focus on our walk with God, and God will take care of everything else. It's a promise. God's church, Jesus being our rock, needs to be our focus. Brothers and sisters, we serve a mighty God. His brothers this far is not going to let us down. And what an incredible privilege to be able to turn around and be able to help other people. You know, it's so great to see the picture of Kara getting baptized on Monday again. Welcome, Kara, to the kingdom of God. There's been a lot of lost people in Brooklyn. There are a lot of lost people all over New York City that God has prepared for us to reach out to and to change their eternity forever. And that's what it's all about. And one by one, God will continue to add to his church. God bless you. That's what I've had for us tonight. I hope this has been helpful and love you a lot. Pray that our truck gets here tomorrow. We're looking forward to seeing everybody face to face. God bless you all.